Turn in your Bible to Galatians. Paul warned the church. Preach the word. By the way, that's not that word there in 2 Timothy 4:2 is not the word of prosperity. Those people are going to stand before God and answer for what they do on those kind of television stations. The word is the word of God. Preach the word. If you leave here and go to another church and they don't stick to the word, get out. Leave it. Run. Why did he say preach the word? He said in season and out of season. You know what that means? There's sometimes, you know what the day I don't want to feel like preaching at all? You know what day that is? Sunday. I don't know why. I usually am at my worst, most ugly Sunday morning. But I've got to preach it in season, and what he means by that, when people are ready to hear it, and out of season, when people aren't ready to hear it. You ever look for some type of a vegetable or a fruit when it's out of season? You ain't gonna find it. So the preacher is to preach God's word. I'm not going to try to give you my opinion of God's word. We're going to try to give you what God's word says. Preach the word in season, out of season, and reprove, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and instruction. That's what a lot of preachers don't do. Fundamentalists love to rebuke. You know why fundamentalists love to rebuke? You ever been around some of those crazy churches that want to go around rebuking everybody? It's because when you rebuke people, it puts the finger on them and no one's looking at you. Every last preacher and fundamentalist that I've ever seen that loves to rebuke people is so that they have all eyes looking on the person they're rebuking and no one's looking on them because they're the most guilty. You get around a preacher that loves to rebuke and they're the most guilty. Start looking in the preacher's life or the rebuker's life and you know what you're going to find? What an old Baptist preacher told me. The more fundamentalist they are, the more you look under the rug and the more dirt you find under the rug. And that's what I've found. Because true children of God, when they preach the word no, we all walk with feet of clay, and we all need to be kind and gentle with one another, and we all are working to be like Jesus Christ. But those rebukers, and you know who Jesus didn't like especially? You bet. What did he say about them? You take the roof beam sticking out of your eye before you take the splinter out of your brother's eye. How do you like that? Jesus knew the hypocrisy, but we're to preach the word with great patience and instruction. Now here's why. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. Do you know what the word sound there means? Healthy doctrine. You know every time you eat Campbell's soup, if you're a guy and you eat Campbell's soup, you're going to start talking like this. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Well, I'll tell you why. Every can of soup, unless it's 100% organic, puts a coating on the can. And the coating on the can, and I used to eat, love Campbell's soup. Chicken noodle. Every can of Campbell's soup is chicken noodle, and they vary it with the vegetables or something. It's all chicken noodle. They just dress the chicken noodle up different. You ever look at it? Trust me, that's the way it is. Every can of chicken noodle, every can of soup you get has what's called bisphenol A in it. And it's a hormone-mimicking chemical that gets into a person and does all sorts of damage to them carcinogenically, hormonally. And still guys start talking like this. I don't want that. But listen, why do I say that? What are you talking about, preacher? It says this, for the time will come when they'll endure sound doctrine. Do you know what that word sound means in Greek? Healthy. Literally, It's doctrine that gives health to God's people. That means this. Churches are a product of what they eat. And if the preacher doesn't fill them with good food, 100% organic, good food, and teach them what they need to know, do you know what those churches are going to be? They're going to be talking like this. I kid you not. That's why the church is in trouble. That's why people are reading these nutty books. I'm in the business and I'm so disgusted with preachers, I can't tell you how much I can't stand them. Because if a preacher really cares about his congregation, he's going to say, it's not my opinion, it's what the Word says. I'm not going to try to give you my opinion. Oh, there may be times, and you can do like Cheryl does and let me have it. I love it. Cheryl always. That's good. She's our jalapeno at Wednesday night Bible study. That's a good thing. But stick to the Word, because only the Word in its true, plain, normal sense gives a church health. And you know what happens? You know what? How many of you have tried to get your kids to eat good things? I know I tried. And they loved everything that was useless carbohydrate. You ever tried that? I can still see the kids when they were, here, eat these peas, and the green slime would go just like the Exorcist, would go all the way down. Remember that? Why? Because bad doctrine tastes better than good doctrine. Did you know that? Sound teaching in God's Word is like junk food. I mean, bad teaching. Let me roll that back. Bad teaching is like junk food. People thrive on the junk food. That's what I did all this trip. I was bad on this trip. I was doing all the schlepping up the steps. So what did I start doing? I was eating. I love hard pretzels. Big hard pretzels. And I was eating all the salt and eating. Oh, I could just crick. Because why? I was schlepping up the steps and I needed some carbs. But it was bad for me and I gained weight. Churches often want junk food. And there's a lot of junk food church. And you know what? You see these big churches with a lot of people? Do you know what that is? Churches love junk food. And the more junk food these preachers feed them, the more they're going to grow a crowd because it's junk food. And Paul said there's going to come a day when men will not want good food, but want their ears tickled. Well, I'm not going to tickle your ears. I think I'm famous for that. They want to hear what they want to hear. That's what today's church is about. And they will accumulate for themselves teachers with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth. Now, why did I bring that up? I brought that up because we're in Galatians. And in Galatians, and what is very interesting is what Paul said in Titus, before I go back to Galatians, is this. This is what I would describe the church today. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him. You ever wondered about Christians? Do you know what gives us the worst reputation in the world is someone claiming to be a Christian with their lips and then denies Him by how they are? My uncle used to love to say, you Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. When I was a little kid, I used to get mad. Now that I'm an old man, you know what I'd tell my uncle? You're right. We've been studying Galatians. What have we learned from Galatians so far? Number one, the gospel that Paul preached centers in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and trust in Him and Him alone, and that by grace you're saved, and it's not on the basis of works. And if I preach anything other than that, what did Paul say? It's okay. What did Paul say about the message that the church preaches? Better be centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if I don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I add foreign elements to it, what did Paul say? Let them be what? So this rabbi, with all this Shemitah year, I'm really angry. His name is Kahn, K-A-H-N, making all sorts of books off of this hogwash. If I or an angel from heaven mix the word of God with something that is not to be there, let them be what? Boy, that's not very tolerant, Pastor Dave. Well, turn on the television, listen to the radio. Do these preachers take this seriously? The answer is no. Don't they understand what Paul says in chapter 1? That if you don't preach the word of God as it stands written in its pure, simple form, and here it is, trust Jesus Christ as Savior and walk by faith, you be what? Damned. Now, that'll fill a church, won't it? What do most of these preachers preach now? God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. And you give $1,000 to my ministry, and I'll send you my book on the Shemitah year, and you'll get thousands of dollars in God. Jesus hated. You know what Jesus hated besides fundamentalists? The second thing on his list. You know what Jesus hated? Thank you. Can you imagine standing before God? I would not want to stand before God and have preached a gospel of money. And Jesus hated money. Now, the love of money is the root of all evil. I know what you'd say to me. But be careful. I'll tell you something. It's easy to love. So in chapter 1, we've found out that in preaching, if you don't preach the word, you be damned. And Paul said, if you try to please men, guess what? If you try to please men, then you can't be a servant of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm in a lot of trouble sometimes. I get myself into trouble just for me, but when I am in trouble in my subject, it's because I'd rather have men be mad at me than God. Paul said, if you try to please men in what you preach and what you teach, you be a man pleaser to get people on your side, you can't be a servant of Jesus Christ. But most preachers are afraid of their job. I've had them call deacons' meetings on me, and I wasn't there. Not here. They have elders here. I'm sure they, you know, it might happen. Just give me time. But I've had them do that. They didn't like my preaching. That's okay. I don't want God to call a deacon's meeting on me. I'd rather not have him call his deacon's meeting. I'd rather have man call his deacon's meeting. That's what Galatians is saying. Everything we've talked about in Galatians, you better follow. So what have we learned? It's review day because I haven't been here. The first thing we learned about Paul's message, why are they going to be damned if they depart from it? Because Paul received it directly from God. This is not some made-up gospel. The Holy Spirit, direct revelation. Don't mess with it. And Paul, for the first couple of chapters, is trying to show you that he received it directly from God. And then in chapter 3, he said, if you depart from the gospel, you are bewitched. Remember the show Bewitched? That's not what he means here. If you depart from the gospel of Jesus Christ, centering in the death, burial, and resurrection, and trusting what Jesus Christ did and living for him, you are under a demonic spell, is what he means by that. Did you just hear me? You look at a preacher, and if that preacher is not centering his gospel in the teaching of Jesus Christ and the gospel, that isn't just a preacher.
He is under demonic force.
1 John. I preached that long ago. I don't know if it was... Did I preach 1 John here? 1 John says the same thing. Seducing spirits, doctrines of demons are behind false teaching. So when you look at a church, if they're not preaching the Word of God and they're filled with people, don't you think that's the blessing of God? It isn't. It's demonic. They are bewitched. And what did we learn in chapter 3? That a true child of Abraham is not someone who is physically related to Abraham. Quit looking at the people at the Wailing Wall and say, look at those nice Jewish people. Yes, they are nice. But they are not the sons of Abraham and the daughters of Abraham. If you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's only two families in this world. Do you know who the two families are? Children of and children. And if you don't follow Jesus, I don't care how much you're related physically to Abraham, your daddy is the devil. So Mr. Khan, if he doesn't believe in Jesus, is conning us all. Verse 7, it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And then he talked about the fact of the law. And he said this, how do you approach God? Well, preacher, I'm a good person. I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't go with anybody who do. Well, that's not in the Mosaic law. I think Moses would have had a good shot every once in a while, and he may have enjoyed a good cigar. Be careful, it'll give you cancer. He's not talking about that. He's saying if you try to impress God by the Mosaic law. I mean, there were a bunch of Jewish people that came into these Gentile churches and said, you've got to follow the Shemitah year and the Feast of Tabernacles and Jubilee and keep Hanukkah and do all. And they, you know what those churches did after Paul? They started doing it. I've seen Christians wear what they call falsely a Star of David. First of all, let me tell you about the Star of David. It is not the Star of David. I did the research on it. I read what the rabbis that are Orthodox rabbis that really know the Old Testament said. There is no such thing as the Star of David. You know where that Star of David came from? Don't you ever put a cross and a Star of David together. It's the Star of Saturn. They went in the Middle Ages back to Babylon. Got into Kabbalah, occult. Kabbalah is older than the Jews. And they brought the Star of Saturn. The symbol of the Jewish nation was the olive tree and the menorah. The Davidic star that you call the Star of David is false. By the way, isn't it interesting that it has... And yes, this rabbi wrote about this. Six triangles, six smaller triangles, 60-degree triangles, 666. You better start watching what you're being taught by some of these preachers who don't know their head from their tail. They got it from the occult, and it was the Rothschilds banking family. If you think I'm blowing smoke, you do the research, and believe me, Sandy knows I have how many boxes filled with these books of study. Legitimate, not from the internet. I know what Paul used to tell me. Now, Dave, if it's on the internet, look, I research is my life. I'm a professor. The Star of David is an occult symbol. The Rothschilds family insisted that the Israeli flag have it on. Their God is not the God of the Old Testament. Their God is the God from Babylon. You've been fooled by the media. And these people came in and made these people get under things Jesus freed them from. Listen to me, if you're not a friend of Christ, Jesus said, unless you love the Son, you cannot what? Love the Father. If you don't believe in me, Jesus said, you don't believe in the Father. So take that, Rabbi Khan. I don't hate him, but I'm going to tell the truth. It is, you have to be sold out and surrendered to Jesus Christ and only Him, and you run away from the Old Testament now. A true child of Abraham is one who lives by faith in chapter 3, verse 11. The righteous one lives by faith, and that's not just faith in God. That's faith in Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, who gave himself. Jesus said, I have sheep who are not of this flock of Jews. You are those flock that he came. And it said Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law in order that the blessing of Abraham, and remember this, don't you ever let anybody tell you that the blessing of Abraham goes to unbelief. And that if you say something bad about Israel, you don't get any blessings. That's nuts! That is a singular you. The blessings go from Abraham, you singular Abraham, to the seed of Abraham, which is what? Jesus Christ. And if you aren't in Jesus Christ, guess what? How much you get of the promises of Abraham? Good. Good review. Good review. What was the law then, Pastor Dave? What was the law then? These preachers that love to preach law. We love to stone people, don't we? The law loves to stone, don't they? That's why that prostitute, where was the guy? Remember the story of Jesus with the woman caught in adultery? They threw her down, wrapped her in a blanket and threw her down. Where was the guy? And they wanted to stone her. Everybody wonders, what was Jesus writing on the ground? I have no idea, but whatever it was, one by one they went away. And Jesus said to them, where are your accusers, woman? And Jesus said, or she said to him, there's no one here, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin. I wish Christians were more like Jesus. Neither do I condemn you. What do we love to do, though, as Christians? Throw stones. The unsaved don't know Jesus. What do you expect them to act like? Can you tell me? They don't know Jesus. I expect the world to act like they do, but then even Christians aren't forgiving with each other. Jesus said that, or Paul said, excuse me, in verse 24, what is the law then? The law is our tutor. Our teacher, what did it teach you? We can't measure up, can we? See, if you want to keep the law to measure up to God, how much do you have to keep? Not some, not 99.9%. You have to do it. And if you don't, you're what? Take the way that Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are burdened. Take my yoke upon you. See, Jesus paid the price. That's what all of Galatians is about. If we would preach the gospel correctly, I really think in human terms, although God is sovereign, more people would come to Jesus if we really kept the center of the focus of the gospel on you'll never earn your way to please God. You must say, Lord, I'm a miserable sinner and only Jesus' righteousness can get me in. And when you acknowledge that, you are righteous before God. I'll never forget the parable that Jesus told about a Pharisee that came before the temple and said, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like that scuzz bucket David Farnell. I do all good things. I tithe. I'm really a good person. And then what happened was, after the Pharisee said that, a miserable sinner that was really a cheat and a fraud, a tax collector. You know what in Israel society? Do you know what in old Israel society the worst sinner in the world was to the Israelites? A tax collector. Why? They gave their money to Rome. They were traitors. That was the worst. It wasn't the sexual sin. It was the money. They loved money. Tax collector come to the throne and said, Lord, I'm not worthy to stand. Hear it all. I have no righteousness. And Jesus said something that must have made him really mad, those Pharisees. He said, let me tell you, the one that went away declared righteous before the Father was the worst sinner in the world because they acknowledged their need of God's saving grace. You see, this is the true gospel message. My aching back, what have preachers done to the true gospel message? They've added money. They've added all sorts of things. No wonder. Ladies, you ever wonder why some husbands don't want to be in church? Take them to a church where the Word of God is preached. Let them know that it isn't dependent upon them, that Jesus Christ saves by His grace. That they don't have to get dressed up for God. God will dress you up through His Spirit. That's the gospel. It was a tutor. And then he concludes that wonderful chapter 3, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. If you don't belong to Christ, then you are not what? Abraham's offspring. What the Bible wouldn't cure about bad theology today if people would listen to it. Well, he told him the truth, and guess what happens when you tell him the truth in chapter 4? He made them mad. Listen to me, if a preacher doesn't make you mad, something's wrong with that preacher. Then he said something that really floors me as I looked at this after all my seminary training and all the psychological operation of seminary training. He said this, current Jerusalem is Ishmael and gets nothing. And how many times have I heard preachers from the pulpit say, that's okay, they'll be saved apart from Jesus Christ. The hell they will. The hell they will, and I use that word hell in every theological sense. That kind of teaching is from the pits of hell. For it denies the saving blood of Jesus Christ that is necessary for all men. And he said, those who trust Jesus will inherit all of the promises of God. Well, that brings us up from their review, so we start chapter 5. That was just the introduction. So you'll be here for another hour. No, I'm just kidding. I know what some would say. There's a restaurant waiting with your name on it, and I wouldn't do that. Remember I told you what my grandfather used to do? He looked like this. That's stuck in my head. So we'll conclude with 5:1. After all that he's taught us, everything that we've reviewed, here is what it says. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Listen to me. Don't be entangled in the garbage of Judaism. I could show you books where they don't even follow the Old Testament. They follow their oral law and call it Torah. And they say that Moses gave them the oral law, and you'd be shocked. I showed it, some of it, to my Sunday school class about what the oral law says. Christ set us free not only from all of that, but from the condemning power of the law. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, stand firm in your grace of Jesus Christ, and don't be again placed into the yoke of slavery. You know what the yoke of slavery is? Anybody that ever tells you you need to do something of the Mosaic law, you're being enslaved in the yoke of slavery. You have fallen from, wait till we get here. You have fallen from Christ when you depart from two things in the Christian life. You live for Jesus, you glorify Him, and this is it. The next one is you walk by faith in what He has done, His shed blood on the cross. There it is. And that's it.